Welcome to HCS Talks. I'm your host, Superintendent of Hampton City Schools, Raymond Haynes. Welcome to Season 3 of HCS Talks, the Hampton City Schools podcast. Our aim is to educate, inform, and even entertain both our community and listeners beyond. Each episode will explore diverse topics, including education, student achievement, the contributions of our teachers, support staff, parents, and community partners, as well as programs and initiatives. There's something valuable and informative for everyone, so we hope you'll join us and keep tuning into HCS Talks. As we just began a brand new school year a few weeks ago, it's natural for students to feel a wide range of emotions, from excitement about seeing friends and teachers again, to nerves about new classes, responsibilities, and routines. Transitioning back into the school environment can sometimes bring stress, whether it's adjusting to academic expectations, balancing activities, or simply navigating the day-to-day challenges of student life. To help us start the year strong, we are joined today by two of our division's leaders who are dedicated to supporting the health and well-being of every student. Our Director of Student Health Services, Ms. Carrie Batista, and our Director of Student Development and Counseling, Ms. Carla Mann. Together, they will share helpful tips and insights on how students can take care of both their physical and emotional health as they settle into the new school year. So welcome, Ms. Batista and Ms. Mann. Thank you for joining us today on HCS Talks. If you would not mind, please share with the listening audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Carrie Batista, Director of Health Services. I've been with Hampton City Schools. This is now my 11th school year. I spent 8 years in elementary schools between Bassett Elementary and Smith Elementary. And now this is my second year as Director of Health Services.
I didn't know you were at Bassett. How long were you at Bassett?
For 5 years.
5 years. And how long at Smith?
Three.
You know, I was a student at Smith.
I was, too.
You were?
I was.
Who was the principal when you were there?
Oh, good question. I could not tell you. I can tell you Miss McCummings was my fifth grade teacher at the time. It was her first year.
You're younger than me. I remember when she came, but I was gone. Mr. Doug Brown eventually became the principal when I was there, and he went on to, I think, what was then Booker and now Patrick Elementary School, so... Good times over there at Smith, and we were the Seagulls back then.
Yes.
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 So are you originally from Hampton, Virginia?
I am. All of my school age years been in Hampton.
What high school did you graduate from? Kecoughtan. A warrior. All right.
Yes.
Ms. Mann?
Yes.
I know this, you are a pro at the podcast. This is your second, third, fourth, or fifth time doing it. But please share with the listening audience a little about yourself as well.
Okay. I'm Carla Mann. I'm the Director of Student Development and Counseling, as you mentioned. The years start to run together. This is either year 28 or 29 for me. I did 3 years at the elementary level and many, many years at the high school level. And I've been in this position for about 8 years. Originally from Gloucester and went to high school in Newport News at Ferguson High School.
Is that still up?
No, it does not exist anymore.
Okay, just check.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I mentioned, our school year began a few short weeks ago. And if I am correct, there are immunization requirements for students to start school. So, Ms. Batista, would you mind sharing what those requirements are and why they are so important?
Sure, yes. When first entering into kindergarten, there are quite a few requirements for the immunizations. We consider those your four-year-old shots that they receive once they turn four. They include the Tdap, polio, MMR, as well as varicella. Going into seventh grade, they will need a Tdap as well as meningococcal. Once they enter into 12th grade, they need their second meningococcal or at least one or both of them, I'm sorry, at least one of them after the age of 16.
So why would you consider those requirements to be so important?
Well, it basically helps with herd immunity, which keeps not only are the students safe and healthy, but the staff as well, so that we're able to maintain the schools in a good position.
Excellent. So what is some general information about having medicine in school?
Well, medication, including prescription as well as over-the-counter medication, needs a new doctor's order every school year. So that will need to be renewed at the beginning of every school year. It is also important for the students to have their medication that is needed at the school in order to help them when they become in certain situations, such as asthma, EpiPens, any type of rescue medication.
Okay, so just to be clear, parents or young people can't assume that just because they had everything cleared the previous year that they're straight for the current year. So each year they have to submit the appropriate documentation, correct?
That is correct.
All right. And you mentioned EpiPens. Are there some new things out now other than EpiPens that folks would be perhaps?
Oh, there's all kinds of new things nowadays.
I see advertised on television. What is it?
The Neffy.
Yes.
Yes. So that is epinephrine that is now delivered through the nasal passage rather than a stick on the leg, a shot to the leg.
Seeing many of that, hearing a lot from schools in terms of that coming in as well? Or?
No, not as of yet. It was just approved to our standing orders. We do have stock of epinephrine in the schools, and it has just been approved, added to the standing order.
Okay.
So we will be looking into getting those for possibly next school year instead of the injection one.
Nice, nice. So I guess both of you can sort of kind of chime in on this next question. What are some of the common feelings students may experience during the first weeks of school, and how can families support them through that transition?
Well, it's very common during these first few weeks of school for students to have a mix of emotions, and a lot of them they will feel at the same time. Some of those could be excitement about the new school year, going into a new class, meeting new friends, having new teachers. They could also feel some anxiety for those same reasons, going into a new class, meeting new friends, being in a new building. There are feelings of being overwhelmed because they're adjusting to new routines, new rules, and just new expectations. And one of the most frequently felt at this time is probably fatigue. Our students have gotten out of routines, especially if they haven't had to get up in the summertime and go to any type of educational or camp facility. So they're tired because, you know, they were staying up late all night, some of them not even waking up till 3 or 4 p.m., staying up, playing video games, talking with friends, and now they have to get back into that routine. So those are common feelings. How families can support the students is, number one, listen. Pay attention to what their child is expressing. Not just listening with your ears, but also listening with your eyes. We know when our children are experiencing things. We can look at them. We can see it in their faces. So paying attention to their body language as well as what they're saying. Try not to ask closed questions. You know, don't ask, How was your day today? If you have a child like mine, when I ask that question, I get, school, fine. Ask, what did you learn today? Who did you help today? What made you smile today? What did you struggle with today? And those are kind of conversation starters that could keep the conversation going, but also give you some conversation that you can listen to. It's also important to validate their feelings. Let them know that it's okay to be stressed. It's okay to be excited. It's okay to be tired. And then even give examples of times where you've experienced those things as well. It's also good to help with establishing routines, especially since they've been up during the summer. If bedtime's at 10 p.m., you may want to start at 9 p.m. with getting off of your screens, packing your bags the night before, then taking your shower and calming down before you go to bed. And one of the most important things is just to be a model. We look to adults as our models of how we should react to things. And so the parent being a model of being prepared for the next day and how they handle stress is also a good example for the student to follow and will alleviate some of that stress that the child may feel.
Those are some great tips and insight, Ms. Mon. How about when they enter school, do we have specific guidance lessons set up? First part of the school year, sort of kind of speak to what you've already shared or anything you want to elaborate on with that?
Well, during the first part of the school year, a lot of it is getting used to routines, and it all depends on the level of school that the student is in. We want to make sure our students understand who in the building that they have access to. If they're experiencing some of these feelings, who they can talk to. We also want to share with them the different types of feelings and emotions that they may be experiencing and how your body feels when you're experiencing those emotions. So that's important so that you know when you're feeling a certain way or your body's doing something, you know that that may be anxiety. And then to share some coping strategies that can help the student when they're experiencing those emotions. And there's also the opportunity to help students who are new to buildings to transition and getting to different clubs and activities so that they can make friends and meet new people.
Getting acclimated and feeling so they are part of the school as a whole and that whole school community and family. Nurse Patisa, anything you want to add from the physical aspect of this? We're talking a lot about the emotional.
Some of the emotional can lead it to physical.
Right.
So it is definitely important for the parents to have communication with the school nurse if they know that their student may be experiencing some of those anxiety type issues, may manifest in stomach aches, headaches. Whereas a school nurse, we would try to look into what may be causing that. But if a parent's already aware that that may be something their student's going to experience, they may want to just reach out to the nurse and kind of give them a heads up.
Absolutely. So I think it's also advantageous for school counselors and nurses to be on the same page and collaborating if there are some common themes that may be permeating throughout the building and work towards, I guess, putting some things and structures in place to be more proactive and helping or identifying and intervening before they become real serious problems, if that makes sense.
Oh, definitely.
Yes. So what are some practical strategies students can use? And you all sort of hit on a lot of this already. If they start to feel overwhelmed or anxious about schoolwork, friends, or new routines.
Well, I think if a student is starting to feel overwhelmed about schoolwork, some things that I use personally are breaking things down into smaller assignments or smaller pieces, and also using a timer. Sometimes we think that we have an assignment, we need to come home and sit down for an hour, hour and a half, and try to get everything done. But sometimes setting a timer for maybe 20 minutes, working, and then taking a five-minute break, a break to include movement, exercise, getting a snack, walking around, or even listening to some music. So breaking it down and using timers. It's also good to ask for help. New school year, new grade level, new types of assignments, new teachers with different expectations. The way that you did things last year may not be the same way that you need to do things this year. And sometimes you need clarification on how things have changed and what you need to do. So you could ask a friend for help, ask a parent, even ask the teacher, of course, for that assistance. When it comes to social situations, we get nervous sometimes in these new environments. So looking for a friendly face, maybe someone you've seen at church or in the community or even in class or in the cafeteria, and making friends with them or asking them, can I join you, is a good way to handle some social situations, or even just taking a step back. If you're feeling overwhelmed in those social situations, taking a step back and taking a break is very helpful. When it comes to new routines.
Before you go on, one of the things that I've found to be challenging just in working with young people and even with my own daughter, the introverts sometimes find it challenging to ask for help. What types of tips or suggestions do you have for folks who are not so quick to ask for help or just are very much introverted and don't feel as though they should or can do that?
I'm an introvert myself. So usually what I do, sometimes if I do not feel comfortable approaching a teacher, for example, in front of the whole class, is We all have access to our Chromebooks. We have access to teachers' emails. We can email the teacher just for some extra help. Sometimes the teachers post that they have hours for students to come back or when their planning period is. And if a student is allowed to do that, you can see when that time is. And usually there aren't as many students there where you can approach and ask for help.
Good point. So you were going to talk about routines as well before I interjected.
Well, with routines, a way to just, when you're feeling anxious about those routines, is using planners, using calendars, packing things the night before if we're looking at just establishing a good, healthy routine in terms of your morning routine, practicing some calming techniques that helps, checklists. And then the overall healthy outlets are just using like journaling and using music or talking to people or even just exercising is a good, healthy outlet as well when you're feeling overwhelmed or stressed.
Did you say you were an introvert?
I did.
When?
Always.
Okay. Well, that's a subject for another podcast. Nurse Batista, anything you want to add to that?
No, not anything that I can think of. She hit everyone with every one of them.
Okay. But I'm sure you can chime in on this next question. Probably we'll start it off.
Yes.
How important are things like sleep, nutrition, and exercise in helping students adjust to the school year successfully?
They are all very important. You need to be well rested, have well nutrition, and routine exercise in order to improve academically. Your body needs food, your brain needs food as well, in order to be able to listen and become engaged in class. Students also often like to miss breakfast. They may not want to eat first thing in the morning. Then they don't feel well. They're not paying attention in class. They're missing much of the day until lunch.
They don't realize how that impacts them, how much more alert they could be if they actually ate something in the morning.
Correct.
I was guilty of that.
Yes, correct. As well as sleep.
Yes.
As Ms. Mon had said, a sleep routine is essential for the students at every grade level. The little ones may need a little more sleep than the 12th graders, but they still need to be well rested so that they are more attentive in class.
I'm reading a lot now, and I should have known this, but I'm even more aware of the importance of this, but actually getting outside and the vitamin D. You want to speak a little bit about that as well?
Oh, yes. The vitamin D is something that we naturally need in our body. Mm-hmm. It helps us feel better. Staying inside is not well.
No, and the best way to get that is through the sun, right?
Yes.
Being outside.
Yes, 100%.
And that's why, you know, oftentimes when you have the change in the season and then the nights are longer, that does have an impact on folks' overall emotional well-being because you're not out in the daylight getting those vitamin D rays and things of that sort. But I know it's critically important to be out and have some human interaction as well.
Yes, definitely.
Ms. Mon, anything you want to add to that?
I would add those three, sleep, nutrition, and exercise, are just as important when it comes to academics as good study habits are. Like Ms. Batista said, sleep resets the brain, the nutrition refuels the brain, the exercise helps the blood go through the brain. So they're all foundation for academic success and for emotional regulation.
Great points. What supports are available in our schools if a student needs help, whether it's counseling, health services, or other resources?
Well, there is a school nurse in every one of our schools that is able to assist them when they're not feeling well. We do work with the counseling department as well, so that some of those topics we spoke about earlier as far as anxiety and such can lead to the physical. So where they are able to support them that way, they're not feeling well or need to go home for some reason, then we can accommodate that as well.
Have you, on a side note a little bit, with the Health Sciences Academy at Bethel. Are you involved in that in any way, shape, or form at this point?
No, sir, I'm not. No.
But I think there is you are a valuable resource that perhaps young people could have at least some FaceTime with you to talk about the field and occupation and what you did to get to where you are and just having some face-to-face interactions. We talk about the me I see is the me I'll be.
Yes.
For them, if they have aspirations of becoming a nurse, are they aware that you can be a school nurse, you can be in a hospital and the different aspects of the nursing profession and all that it entails. But I think our young people may be missing out on an outstanding resource in you, so we'll tap into that at some point in time as well. Ms. Mon, what other resources?
Just like there's a nurse in every building, there is a school counselor in every building that students can talk to about stress, anxiety, whatever they're feeling. There's also the teachers and administrators. They love talking with students, and they are available to listen to students as well and connect them with resources. Every school also has a school social worker, and even though that school social worker is not in the building, they are also a resource that a student could be referred to if the student needs that extra support. I think it's important for the students and the families to know that the students are never alone. There's always someone in the building that they can go to. It could be a cafeteria worker, a custodian, anyone that they feel comfortable interacting with and talking to who could put them in the right direction and connect them to a person or resources.
And we want to continue to enforce the importance of a sense of community. And one of the things we have asked, and I believe continue to ask when we're doing climate surveys with young people, how comfortable do they feel coming to an adult in the building, or do you have an adult in the building you can connect to if you have some concerns or want to share some things? So we have been intentional in making certain that percentage increases and having conversations with young people, whether it's elementary, middle, or high school, about feeling comfortable connecting with adults in the building, and then having adults be intentional in connecting with young people to check in the mornings and throughout the day to see how young people are doing. That mentorship and relationship we know is paramount to everything that transpires in the school as well. But I know I asked Nurse Batista that question, but I know we have the Health, Human, and Financial Services at Hampton High School, the Hampton High School, but have you been able to tap into that academy over there and showcase your expertise and give those young people some FaceTime as well?
Actually, no, I have not, but I am aware that the school counselors over there have.
Good, good. Outstanding. Well, just other ways we can look towards continuous improvement. I think we, with the academy model, we sort of sell ourselves short because there's an academy on the Academy of Teaching, Education, and Learning, and it's full of educators, but I wonder how intentional we've been in having teachers come in and talk to those groups of students who are in those academies about what it takes to become a teacher and the path that they've taken to get to where they are. Other aspects of the academies, I know we've had police officers who are partners with the Academy of Law and Public Safety. We have some judges, but I think we're taking for granted the folks who are in the system and doing exceptionally well, continuing to serve as a face and role model and mentor for our young people as well. So we will connect with you two on that as well and further dive into all the academies have to offer. So before we close out, if you could give one piece of advice to students for having a healthy and successful school year, Nurse Batista, what would it be?
I would have to say to prioritize self-care by establishing consistent and healthy routines, focusing on the sleep, the nutrition, and regular exercise, getting the vitamin D, stepping outside. Those all things are important both for in the classroom and outside.
Prioritize self-care. That is important. Ms. Mon, anything you'd like to add?
I would agree with that, but I also just reinforce what I've said before on your podcast, Dr. Haynes. Don't be afraid to ask for help and do it early. Reaching out doesn't mean that you're weak. It just means that you're taking control of yourself and your well-being.
I think it takes a strong person to ask for help and take that initiative to say, hey, I need some help with these things, and being more specific about what they need to help with. It makes for a stronger person overall as well. So, I've enjoyed my time with you all this afternoon. I'm still trying to figure out at the beginning. You said you were here for, Ms. Ma, 28, 29 years. You are much older than me. I've been here for 31 years. I don't know what happened to you. I think you were here when I came in the system. Are you miscalculating?
No, I am not.
Anything else for the listening audience before we close out, ladies?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, thank you, Nurse Batista and Ms. Ma, for being here today and shedding light on health services and school counseling. I am confident our listeners have gained some valuable insights from your expertise. I know I have as well.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
And to our listeners, remember, education is the most powerful weapon we can use to transform the world. As One Community, One Transformation, we remain dedicated to ensuring academic excellence for every child, every day, whatever it takes. We will see you next week.
Listen to learn more about Hampton City Schools. New episodes of HCS Talks drop on Thursdays. Subscribe and listen to HCS Talks. HCS Talks is a Hampton City Schools production.